Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hour number two of Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. 106.3, you can hear us. The Game Nashville app, GameNashville.com, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 and up and in Tennessee to bet. Mike Gundy, what's the first thing you think about when you think about Mike Gundy?
The mullet.
The mullet. That's a good answer. I feel like we're playing Family Feud here, right? Top five answers on the board.
The mullet has to
the
be.
The mullet is
three.
In the top five. It's in the top five. All right, so what about you, Nick? What's the first thing you think about?
Oklahoma State.
Okay, that's got to be in there. Yeah. That's got to be top five. For me, it's this. I'm a man. I'm 40. You remember that?
That probably is number one. I'm a man. It's like, okay, so we know that, Mike.
He has had some very strange press conferences, and that was, I think I was reading this. It's something like, that was like 16 years ago. Or he's been at Oklahoma State for 16 years, and that was 12 years ago. Mike Gundy's been at Oklahoma State for a long time. He played at Oklahoma State. He is a very good coach at a program that, in the grand scheme of things, has had some hard times. But I think he's been about as consistent a winner as you could expect, reasonably, at Oklahoma State. So, on the field, as a coach, X's note, you got to give him his due. He's good. They've done well.
Absolutely.
But he is one of those guys that definitely kind of they're the Cowboys. He's a little bit of a cowboy.
Mm-hmm. He's right? A character.
He is a character. But it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, as it should, right? He kind of got a little too cavalier for people's tastes. One of his running backs, and he is a good running back. This is a guy that is the modern day star player who is now in the position to make and cash in on his name and image likeness. Mm-hmm. Ollie Gordon is the tailback. Some have him on sort of the long list of Heisman candidates. He got arrested for a DUI. He was over the legal limit. He tested at 0.1 and then 0.11. So that's that. They have their media day. Mike Gundy goes to the podium knowing that he's going to be asked about this, and had some comments. You have some of that? Okay, let's listen to what Mike Gundy had to say. Because on one hand, we chuckle because we know what Mike Gundy is all about, but listen to what he says here.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma, it's 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light. Because you make a lot of money to play football.
Okay, so there's the start of it. And he goes on to a lot of different things, and we're going to hit on one or two layers beyond just the stark, like, I'm sure if you're sitting at that press conference and you're listening to this in the moment, you're like, say what? First of all, to hit 0.1 for a college football player, I don't think it's 2 to 3 beers that will make it.
No.
I don't think. Now, we all know it. Like, if you, hopefully, somewhere along the line of your life, mm-hmm. you get educated on how it's scored, mm-hmm. you know, the breathalyzer. But generally, one drink per hour, you're going to be okay. But mm-hmm. once you do string two or three, four.
That's where you get in trouble.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it depends on when you drank the beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a little bit of an assumption to say he hit the legal limit, 0.1. And he just had two. You're telling me he just had two to three or four beers?
I don't know.
I don't know. The it's legal possible limit. If he just chugged them, yeah. Or if he took the old keyhole and slammed them. Okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like he triggered a 0.1 is a 0.1. You can't be flipping about that.
Yeah, 0.1. It's not.
You're under the influence.
The range is what one the
0.08 the, yeah, is 0.08. What do they call it?
You can still get a ticket at point.
Right. They can,
08.
You're affected, yeah. Right? But mm-hmm. It's not a DUI. But once you hit 0.1, which he did, it's a DUI.
It's a DUI.
It doesn't really matter how you got mm-hmm. there, but I'm not buying the 2 to 3 to 4. But then how about what he says about, I've done it 1,000 times. 1,000 times? What?
I know that it was just, I get he was being overly dramatic by 1,000 times. I get that, Mike Gundy. But in this context, you can't sit here as a grown man. You said you're a grown man. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. You said this, Mike, okay, about 10 years ago, I guess, probably more than that. But you said this, Mike. So as a grown man, you know under these circumstances, you cannot get up there. I know what you were trying to do, Mike. I really do. But you can't get up here and say, oh, I've done it 1,000 times. So what are you telling your kids? What are you telling your student athletes or your athletic students? Because that's what they are. That, okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You can drink, you know, 1, 2, 5. You can get, you know, drive drunk 20 times. It's okay because I've done it 1,000 times. And I was lucky and I got through it. So you can be lucky too. I know what you were trying to say in a sense, but under this sort of climate, considering what happened in Georgia in regards to the speeding.
Right. There are a lot of examples.
Accidents.
Yes.
And drunk driving and everything else.
You can't say that.
You cannot utter those words that, oh, I may have done it 1,000. No, you can't. Even though we know that is not true. You may have done it 20 times, 10 times, I don't know. But you can't say that under these circumstances. You can't even put that out there because what you're doing is you're basically excluding him from doing what he did. You're saying you're okay, you didn't, no one got hurt, you know. You got a ticket, it was okay. As long as nobody gets hurt, it's okay to have a little bit and drive. No, it's not okay. If you are drunk, you shouldn't get behind the wheel. If you know you've had one too many drinks, you shouldn't get behind the wheel.
But this is, to me, what a big problem we have here. Because part of his justification for his answer is that his running back, who is making money now, Ollie Gordon, basically said, essentially, he's an employee mm-hmm. / a pro now, right?
Well, he didn't lie about
he
that
didn't
part.
Lie.
And he see, didn't this, lie about
is,
that part.
This is where I think you get into some meaningful discussion mm-hmm. of another element of where we're going in college athletics. Because it's like the coach is excusing himself, mm-hmm. saying, I don't need to worry about these guys. These are professionals. It's up to them. It's their mm-hmm. responsibility. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, my image of a coach, a college coach, is one who teaches you how to be someday a professional
and be
down
responsible.
The road and be responsible. He is a mentor. He mm-hmm. is sort of a parent away from your actual mm-hmm. parents, your family, right? That's how many times have we heard the recruiting pitch? I'm going to take your son and I'm going to mold him into a man.
He's going to be a better man yeah. when he leaves than when he came here.
Mike Gundy is basically acting like Ollie Gordon, who, by the way, is 20. Mm-hmm. He's underage. Shouldn't have been drinking at all, in theory, let alone driving. We know that that's how it rolls, right? Yeah. There's plenty of underage kids who
It's not right,
drink.
But hey.
It's not right, but it happens. Exactly. But still, he's treating him as if he's already a pro. Whereas this is a kid that should be learning, and you would hope that there's a message sent mm-hmm. to a kid at that stage of life that that's not okay what you did. And look, you got caught, and yeah, There's probably a lot of people that had a few beers and drove and didn't get caught. But the point is, look around. Mm-hmm. There are really serious, tragic accidents that happen as a result of drunk driving. And you did it, and you got caught. There have to be consequences here. Mm-hmm. He joked and said, oh, man, if I really wanted to punish him, I'd give him the ball 50 times and make him run it against this team that they're going to clobber in the first game. Like, he was really that flippant about it.
That's somebody, to me, that saw the road he wanted to go down, but for some reason he just messed it all up. Like, he knew exactly what he wanted to say, but then it just came out all wrong. He was trying to make this huge elaborate point, and it went completely the wrong way. And how do you can't go back and justify what you said, because not only did you say it, you kept going with it. You kept elaborating. You kept digging a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like, dude, somebody should have been in the back room, the SID.
The media relations.
Yeah, he should have just been like, gave a gesture, like wiping his forehead or something.
Get the hook out.
Apollo, right? We coming out with the hook on you. Like, the Sandman is coming out and pulling you. Because, Mike, you ain't doing a good job surviving here, man. You're drowning. You're drowning very quickly.
It shows you that he's got nobody above him, Gundy doesn't, mm-hmm. that's telling him that's not acceptable or anything. He has gotten carte blanche. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you want. You're the guy that used to be the quarterback. You've stayed here through the tough times. You love Oklahoma State. Do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is a problem. But the bigger problem is, to me, treating – now he's looking at it even different. He's like, oh, this is great. Now the guy's getting paid – who knows? Let's just say he's getting paid $800,000 or $1 million. Mm-hmm. Significant. Oh, it's his problem. It's his problem. He's a pro. Mm-hmm. He's got to make his own choices. That's so opposite of what a college coach is supposed to be.
But you are supposed to be.
But it's different now.
Yeah, Ollie Gordon, $662,000 is what it's worth.
Okay.
For NIL value.
Okay. So that's nice. I mean, and nobody knows for sure, right? But that's what we speculate based on
according to On3 Sports.
Okay.
They have a NIL tracker for people's value. So
interesting.
So you look
at that's it, not nothing.
It's not nothing. It's a lot of money now. So I understand. Again, I get what you know Gundy was trying to do. It just didn't fall well. It's like trying to tell a joke and it falls flat on its face. I know what you were trying to attend a joke to do was to make everybody laugh, but that didn't happen. So how do you get out of that joke quickly? Well, in Gundy's case, how do you get down out of this road that you're traveling? How do you make an exit for yourself? He couldn't do it. Because he just kept on elaborating about it. But here's the part that I'm, you know, that may end up getting, like, college coaches across the country. They're going to start being more honest about how this thing operates now.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the deal. Coaches no longer have the power they did. They don't. Because if I'm paying him $8 million, just say, for instance, if he 4 years, $2 million per year, who are you to tell me what? Because you're not paying me. You, coach, are not paying me. You know who's paying me? All those people that's over above you, all those donors.
Collectives.
Collective, they're paying me. So I don't have to listen to you. I don't. So these coaches are in a position now where some of them are just going to – you seen Lane Kiffin. He tells me – he's just – hey, listen, I'm going to say what I got to say. Saban was the same way to a – he got to a point where he just started telling – you see Deion and people hate it. And yeah. I know there are a lot of other things you may hate, dislike about Deion. I get it. But Deion is being honest about how he's sort of going about coaching. He's telling things that coaches don't want to say. He's just saying it, and it's true. But people are getting upset with Deion because he said, along with some other things. But other coaches are going to start to just be honest with you. Like, listen, Gundy, for instance, you know, he's a professional now. This guy's making six figures now.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do? What do I do? You know, law enforcement, they'll take care of it. But what do I do as a coach? Because I can't sit him out because if the collective wanted him to play, he's got to play.
And also what also could be in the back of his
unless,
mind.
Unless like the school be, suspends him.
Hey, if I am too harsh on him.
He gonna leave.
He's gonna leave, and somebody else will jump in and say, "Well, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. What are you making? $662? I look on three. You make. We can top that.
Oh, we can pay you $700. $1 million.
Maybe $800. Yeah. Like this guy is good. This is a good player. Mm-hmm. So the coach has to think that way now. I go back to what is part of the reason. What should be your foundation of playing sports? Develop as a person. Mm-hmm. It can't just be about. Employee, employer, professional, money-making, what is going to happen as a result? Mm-hmm. Like if Ollie Gordon wants to play in the pros someday, how do these actions, these lessons that he's really not having to learn the hard way, how will that affect him down the road? These are the questions I have. Maybe he'll be fine. I don't know. He's got his money. I don't know. You can justify a lot of things. But I've always viewed that time of life is a very important time in the growth of a young person, mm-hmm. 18 to 22. And sometimes you got to learn the hard way. And there seemed to be absolutely no repercussion. Now, he's going to have to face the arrest, and yeah. I don't know what's going to happen.
He'll probably end up getting suspended for a few games here.
Well, maybe. Not by Gundy.
Gundy's not going to do it. It's going to have to be the AD. If it's up to anybody, it's going to be the AD
Does the AD have that kind of juice to do that?
Over I think Gundy? They do. You do. Yeah.
Because Gundy's probably making more money than the AD.
No, but in your scholarship contract, because every year you have a contract that you got to sign. These scholarships are year to year. They're not. You don't come in as a freshman and sign a 4-year scholarship. You don't. Every year you got to go back in and you got to re-sign that contract over again, stating that you will receive the scholarship and you will uphold whatever things they want you to uphold. And if you don't, you get kicked out. So I'm sure within, you know, the contract, it states somewhere that, you know, drunk driving is alcohol is probably a part of it, that if you do this, you will get suspended for a game or whatnot. So I'm sure it's built into your scholarship.
Okay, and this also had me thinking along these lines as well. I don't know how all the paperwork works. It may be different at different schools, different mm-hmm. players, because I don't think there's any standard rule. But let's say I'm with Oklahoma State, and I signed a deal with you mm-hmm. to play, and I'm paying you $500,000. But we signed an agreement. Is it? I'm guessing there's maybe paperwork.
There has to be, yeah.
Do I stipulate in the paperwork that if you flunk out or you get arrested mm-hmm. or there's a code of conduct, I can dock you pay? Like, I do wonder if that's in there.
I mean, you would almost have – if you
because
are
I do hear that that's a trick that schools are using. They'll promise a kid mm-hmm. to lure him away from the other school. Say, hey, Nick, you're great. Well, come over here and I'll pay you $500,000. But then in actuality, I get you to come for $500,000, but then to hit all the markers, you got to get playing time, you got to stay in school, you got to stay out of trouble. At the end of the day, you only got $100,000. Like, I hear that that's a trick. You budget, let's say, $5 million for NIL players, and the actual pay is more like $2 million. I hear that that's a trick that people are starting to do because
you
set up barriers that not all kids are going to reach. And playing time is one of them. That's a real tough one.
Well, college kids, from a sports standpoint, it's like rolling the dice. That's what it is. Sometimes you're going to crap out. Sometimes you're going to hit sevens. That's just how it is, you know. So you have to, being a smart business person, you have to put those things into a contract because college students are unpredictable. Very unpredictable. And they may look like the most responsible kid in the world, and then the next day they do something because they're young. And sometimes young kids just don't think about, hell, sometimes adults don't think. But young kids, really, they're not thinking about all the repercussions and the, you know, things that they can get themselves into. So you have to put those things inside of a contract, because if you don't, who's to say this kid don't go out and do something? And if you don't have those stipulations in the contract, you still got to pay them no matter what. So I'm sure they have these stipulations in the contract. You got to keep up a certain grade point average, because if you don't, it does affect you on the field because you're not on the field. or you can't do this, or you can't do that. If you get caught doing this, because it's all brand marketing. And if you make the brand look bad, we got to dismiss you.
I hope that they are doing that.
Yeah,
they should. At least hold the kid accountable if you're going to pay him that kind of money. So we'll see where this goes. But Mike Gundy, what in the
– Oh, my.
Why do we even ask?
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm a man.
He's a lot more than 40 now. And he's still acting the fool and making comments that have you going, what? Okay. When we come back, it'll be time for Ask D-Mace. And we've got the text line back.
Woohoo!
We have got the text line back. So it is time to ask D-Mace. We've already got a few on the docket here that I think you're going to really enjoy. Ask D-Mace anything. He's been on a European tour. You can ask him about that. You can ask about Jamal Adams and the Titans. We're going to talk a little more Titans next hour. You can ask anything that's on your mind. 615-737-1025. You can ask about movie tips, movie reviews, movie recommendations for the summer. Jump on in there. 615-737-1025. 1025. Jump on in. Ask D-Mace is coming up next here on Willie and D-Mace, 1025 The Game.
D-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Yes, it's time to ask D-Mace on a Friday. First time we've had a chance to do it for a couple of weeks, especially since we got the text line back, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Yes. 615-737-1025. Let's have some fun on this Friday. Let's not let the heat get to us. And yeah, it's getting up there in the upper 90s again. Woo. We get the Paul Skeens fastball coming at us here. It is back to another heat wave. The last couple days were very nice, but it is getting hot. But jump in there on our text line. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Heating and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The text line is up and running. And one of the traditions, especially in the summer that we've had with Ask D-Mace, is a question that is on the text line. Hey, D-Mace, you still doing dad jokes on Fridays? What kind of trees like to give high fives?
What kind of trees like to give high fives? That's an easy one if I can't. What trees like to give high fives? All trees, I guess.
Your answer again? All trees?
Yeah, all trees, I guess.
Yeah, do you know it?
All tall, I guess.
Oak trees?
Oak trees, cypress.
Keep
tree.
Going.
I don't know.
You might see these down in my
palm
state
trees.
Of
palm trees. Yes.
Palm trees. Nice.
I like
that's
that
a good
one.
Dad joke right
I like
there.
That one. I like
that's
it.
That's a good dad joke. 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's see. D-Mace, this is from Stephanie. How much of an impact do you think the newly signed free agents will have on the Predators next season? And what are your predictions for the season as a whole?
Let's see here. I think this is going to be a better scoring team. I think they're going to have more versatility in their scoring. They're going to have more lines that can do more to me. Because last year, I think that first line was really their top line. That second line was pretty good too. But I think now they're going to be able to move people around and they're going to have formidable or more than formidable lines outside of that first line. So I think those three guys will help tremendously at that. I think they afford them the ability to do some things that they were not or couldn't do or were not able to do within the last couple of seasons. And Barry has done a great job at putting together a squad that can do some of the things that Coach Bruno wants to do from an offensive and defensive standpoint. I predict this team, they were a 99-point team last year. I predict this team 105. I got them at 105 points.
Okay.
I think they're going to be in the 100-point range. I say 105.
100 is going to get you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Probably 10 times out of 10.
So 105 so will put
anything
him
above
what?
That, we're now we're talking about
third,
seeding.
In a fourth yeah. spot, third spot in the Western Conference, 105.
It can vary from year to year, but yeah, I think you're sneaking up. It depends on how balanced your division mm-hmm. is. There's a lot of X factors there, but that would be interesting to know. But 105, I wonder what Vegas will end up with their kind of over-under. I think last year was in the 80s, uh-huh. and they blew that away, obviously, exactly. to get to 99. 615-737-1025 is the number. Got this, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. D-Mace, listened earlier when you guys were humming the NBA on NBC basketball theme song. How would you rank your top three current/classic national sports broadcast theme songs?
Wow, there's not many. Like the current ones now?
I think all time. All time. I think that's a great question. Now, do we have the NBA and... Yes. Now, this brings me back to Michael Jordan, Marv Albert, The Glove, Gary Payton, Detlef Schrempf, Patrick Ewing.
Oh, man, you're taking me back.
The Knicks! John Starks!
Stockton. Malone.
Charles Oakley.
Man.
Just some of the characters of the day.
You knew when this song came on, you knew it was going to be a game.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was going to, oh. Also, you,
this is one of the best. This is one of the best. It's tough to, this has got to be top three.
I think the best one, and it's not because it's like, I it's not one of those, I guess it is. But it's one of those songs you only hear once a year. Theme song, so you know yeah. where I'm going with this. You only hear it once a year. The Masters, the theme song for the Masters.
Okay.
You only hear it once a year. The slow. it puts you in a relaxing mood. It's just like, oh, okay.
I did not yeah. expect you to go to the Masters.
That is one of the, because it's iconic. It is
iconic.
Like, you there know you what go. Time it is. You know what time it is. Like, when that plays, you know what time it is. Give me you some golf clubs.
You can name that tune in three
exactly.
notes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What, a 7-iron?
Give me a 7-iron. Let's
You're
go.
You're about 120 yards out. You
can't have an 8-iron. You have to talk like this. You have
exactly.
to start talking more in a tone like this.
This is the it's only the theme song that makes you lower your voice.
It does.
That calms you.
It just has
so
to
this be. Has to be number one.
Number
it
one?
Yes, it has to be man. Number one.
That can't touch the NBA.
Listen, I get it. I understand. And I'm with you. But if I'm just thinking like this has to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, because of all the history behind. And they still play it. They haven't changed it. They have not changed
they
it.
They haven't. 615-737-1025 for Ask D-Mace. What's your favorite? Nick, you got one?
TD and
song?
I were talking behind the glass here. Monday Night Football. Just the, when you
yeah.
the
yeah.
dun,
that,
dun,
that's
dun,
the
dun.
It doesn't dun, get much dun, better than
dun,
that.
Dun, yeah. dun, 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 dun.
Like, I love the original 70s, you know, that real old one. Because there's a lot of some, and I love this. Mm-hmm. They keep the theme the same. Because, what, 50 years, 50-plus years of Monday Night Football. So there's a little twists on it, mm-hmm. but there's still nothing better than the original.
How about Are You Ready, Monday Night, Frank Gifford. Was it Frank Gifford? Yeah,
yeah.
Dan Dierdorf and yeah. Al Michaels.
Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, Hank Williams
yeah.
Jr.
Are You Ready yes. for Some Football?
Are you ready
yeah,
for
I'm
some
not
football?
Into that.
That
much.
Was,
yeah,
it was, I liked that. I did
I'm
like that, really.
It's all right.
I did like that.
There
when it first
time.
Originally came out,
yeah.
I did.
The instrumental is the best for me.
Uh-huh.
The instrumental is still the one that gets...
Titans had a primetime game. It was against the Steelers. It was on Monday Night Football. Keith Bullock was like a part of the big like promo.
Uh-huh.
Man, it was awesome. And it had Hank Williams right behind it. Oh,
mm-hmm. I don't know why. You don't like that one, Willie?
Mm, it's okay. Now, see, this is the one. Come on. You play this in the middle
oh.
of the summer, and you're like, when is it? When's the
oh,
first
I'm
Monday
ready to
game?
Play now. When
yeah.
that song comes on, it's like,
48
okay,
degrees here in Nashville,
where my pads
Tennessee.
At?
The Titans
in, coach.
Are going
in.
Against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Put me in, coach. I want to get in now.
Yeah, get the bass going. The drummer here. Listen to the drummer kick in right here. With like a bongos right in there. And then you got to have Howard Cosell come in if you really want to get nostalgic. The violins. Yes, here we go. Now. I'll always remember, D-Mace, the first Monday Night Football game that you guys played in at the new – back then it was the new stadium.
Who did we
– You guys played the Jaguars.
Play?
If I got this right, it was you guys, the first year of the stadium.
The first year of the stadium.
Didn't have a Monday Night Football game that you hosted.
It was
the next year, you played the Jaguars early in the season. You guys smoked them. Remember the Jaguars? You beat them in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So they had you guys go head-to-head early in the season, and you guys hammered them.
Yeah.
I was so excited. The night before you guys played that game, this is fall of 2000, Al Michaels, who was the voice of Monday Night Football back then, came to the Predators game. Because he's a big hockey fan. Just came to watch the Predators game. And we got Al Michaels on the intermission that night. I was so excited. I thought I had just been. I'm like, you've made it now.
I've made it.
I got to interview Al Michaels. And he was awesome. He was awesome. But he was in town to do the game.
The Monday night
game.
And
the Jags.
So, you know, Al Michaels does not eat vegetables.
He doesn't eat vegetables?
Does not eat vegetables.
Wow.
And he's still going strong.
Still going strong. Why do I know that? I just saw it on YouTube one day. I was like, wow, I'm fascinated.
Again.
Al Michaels.
Food. Always thinking about food.
Willie, it is my whole entire life.
He sleeps food, man. He just, his day revolves around food.
I'm still thinking about it. That's what I'm doing right now. What am I going to have for dinner? It's Friday. I might go pizza today. I don't know.
See, there you go.
But that's
this is what you're talking about, though, D-Mace, with Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah, I like the Hank Williams. You don't like this, Willie?
I mean, it's okay, but it's always the theme for me.
ESPN welcomes you to the following presentation of the National Football League.
Okay. That didn't fire you up, Willie?
Really? Not as much as
I want to play the piano now, Willie. Come on, you don't like that, man. Come on.
I will say this. Just walking around town that day thinking, Monday Night Football is in our city, and you guys obviously were really good coming off the Super Bowl. Like, that was a great feeling. And then you're like, I can't wait to hear that Monday Night Football theme. The Titans are playing. This is, we're a pro city. Like that, I can go back to that day. That's what like that does that for you.
I want to ask you this quickly. And this, I guess this would be, this is not a question to myself because I know the answer, or I think I know the answer. What was the first big time game in Nissan Stadium?
See, that's a great question because I would say that is up there. But just
that was up there,
Monday night football for the first time in the new
that
stadium.
That was wild.
That was wild. Awesome.
That night was wild.
And you guys were obviously a great team on top of things. So the year before, I don't know. There was a Thursday night game against the Raiders where it was kind of in prime time. And then obviously the one playoff game, the Music City Miracle game was.
But what I'm like the first, to me, I go back to the Rams game.
Oh,
because
that's
the
Rams were
5-0,
yes,
or 6-0, and we were 5-1.
Yep,
and it was like the battle of the two teams,
right? And they eventually played
in the Super Bowl. Yeah.
And after that
game, many was like, these are probably going to be two of the teams that could represent both conferences in the Super Bowl. That, and ironically,
I think you've hit on it. That's the answer. That's the answer.
To me, that was the first big game.
And Steve McNair was just coming off of the back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And was back in the lineup.
Exactly.
And that was a big story. Some people were saying, well, they ought to keep rolling with Neil O'Donnell because they're winning. And Jeffers was like, no, Steve McNair is our quarterback. It was a little controversial.
Yeah.
But he went in there and you guys beat him.
Yeah.
Didn't beat him in the Super Bowl, but that was a great game.
Oh, man.
That was the Fred Miller who was eventually a Titan.
That's when he got.
He had five false starts in the same.
False start, Fred Miller.
False start, Freddie.
False start, Fred Miller. I mean, the fans went wild with that whole thing.
Oh my goodness, they went wild, and to the point where the Rams complained. They thought that the Titans were artificially pumping in noise.
Nah, we weren't pumping in noise. It was
didn't
just,
need it.
It was Javon, and it was because of Javon, and ultimately, Fred Miller. Would sort of the goat in a bad way.
All right, Ask D-Mace is off and running now. We got text lines galore, your favorite sports theme song. That ignited a little fuse here. We got a lot of questions for D-Mace. Segment number two of it is coming back here in just a moment. Keep jumping in there. 615-737-1025. We'll get to as many texts as we can on the other side. This is 1025 The Game. Ask D-Mace continues here on 102.5 The Game. Willie and D-Mace, this was nominated by a number of our listeners as their favorite theme song. And, of course, as we phase out of college football on CBS of the SEC 230 game.
Mm-hmm.
This is now going to be the Big Ten theme song.
Did they switch CBS. It to the, did they?
It's CBS's song.
Unfortunately.
And I think when they had the odd game last year of the Big Ten, it was this song.
It was. So and I believe Rick Neuheisel, somebody you're familiar with, mentioned that after the SEC championship game too. So
So that means Rick will be doing more. Will he be doing more Big Ten games?
Probably as like on the panel show.
Yeah, on the panel show.
It'll be more Big Ten if he's on the 230 panel, it'll be the Big Ten game of the week.
Yeah.
That's going to be weird.
But when you hear that music, you just hear, 230.
That's college
football's
football.
On. Yeah. SEC, best of the best. The ribs are on the grill.
See, look, Nick brought food in again.
I'm just saying,
never fails.
Ribs are on the grill.
Slips it in there.
Maybe you drop a $2 steak in there. Some mashed potatoes, a little bit of gravy, mac and cheese.
Oh, my goodness, man. Nick, you're going to make everybody around here hungry, man.
But just close your eyes. People there to listen. If you're driving, keep your eyes open. But close your eyes if you're on the side of the road. Just, you smell all the graciousness from the patio. College football at its finest.
What we got on the text
We got a lot of texts. 615-737-1025.
Adam?
Is Adam up? Yeah, in fact, let's see. Well, is Eric not on there anymore? We lost Eric?
Eric left,
yes.
Oh,
man.
Is
Eric
Adam
was,
on?
I thought Eric for sure would weigh in on his favorite. Maybe he just wanted the Monday Night Football theme to be played, and he was good after that. Exactly. All right, let's go to Adam, who's got a question for D-Mace. Adam, welcome in.
Well, the Monday Night Football theme gets my heart racing, dude, so I guess that's it. Like, it just puts me in a whole other place. Like, it just mentally makes me better. But it's my question for you, D-Mace. I've asked you 100 of these through the years, but I've never asked you this one. This may be the dirtiest one I've asked you. Say, all right, go back to the Super Bowl that we all hated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Warner's your quarterback. Steve McNair's on the other team. Who wins? What's the score?
Oh, wow. If Kurt Warner's my quarterback, I'm winning. I'm just going to pick myself. I'm going to pick the team that I'm on to win. What would the score be? I think it'd still end up being a close game. I think it'd be a close game. The problem with – there were several issues, I think. If you sort of look back at that game, that whole time, there were several issues that I think hampered both teams. One main issue was the rest time we got after the AFC and the NFC championship game. We didn't have any. We had to pack our bags. We were confident we were going to win the game because we had previously beat them twice. But it's hard to beat a team three times, especially in their place. But we were confident. It wasn't a cockiness, but we were just confident. We knew what team we had. We knew them. They knew us. But we felt we were just a tad bit better going up against them. We had to pack our bags as if we knew we were going to win because we had to travel to Jacksonville. So everybody, after that Colts game, we came back. And I remember we had a meeting, I think, that night. When we got back early the next morning, and Fish was like, y'all need to have y'all bags packed, everything, bring them over to the facility, have them packed here. So when we're done, we got to go straight to Atlanta. Like the next day, we had to come back here and then go straight to Atlanta. And obviously, that's what happened. And I'm sure St. Louis had to do the same thing because they were the St. Louis Rams then. That was the first mistake.
Now, they were playing at home, which probably made it a lot easier
better
for them.
Yeah, because they had their stuff. Everything was set and in place. That was the first mistake because that was the first year the NFL had did that.
That was a bummer.
That, and then the next year they changed it back to the 2 weeks. Like, why would you do that to teams? So it turned out the Super Bowl didn't get interesting until the second half. Because the first half, it was sort of like a stalemate even though the Rams were up.
Yeah, I think
they
it
were
was
up 17.
9-0.
Was it 9-0?
I think it was
9-0
at the half, and they scored right at the beginning of the second half.
Yes,
when Blaine got hurt.
Exactly, when Blaine got hurt. So that was the first mistake by the NFL. That's something we can't control as players. We can't control that. But that was the first mistake because you didn't get the most out of both teams that you probably would have had we had a full week to rest. And then secondly, I think when we started to go back to what we were known for. Like, we went back to running the ball with Eddie, Steve making plays with his legs and arms. I don't know what we were trying to – I don't know what we were doing in the first half. It just wasn't working at all. But you saw the second half. Like, we got back to our identity. Yeah. We got into our identity, and we got into a rhythm. And Eddie was just running. He was getting those tough yards. Steve was getting tough yards running and throwing the football. And then the defense stepped up. And then when Blaine went down, that changed the whole sort of scope of the game. Because you have your – Blaine was probably the – he and Javon at that time were the best players on that defense. And we had some really good players on that defense. Samari, you can name them across the board. But those two guys were key with what we were doing. Javon on the line and Blaine in the secondary, because Blaine was the caller. He knew everything. When he went down, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
It was a wrap. Tough. Yeah.
A lot of questions here. One guy, Matthew, says, are you guys getting the texts? Are my texts going through? I'm not seeing the response that I got. We got a brand new service on our text line. So we got you, Matthew.
We got you.
And here's Matthew's question. Are Billy Napier, Florida, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt, coaching for their jobs? And if Bama struggles out of the gate, how quickly do you see the fans turning on DeBoer? Matthew just wants pain. He wants coaches on the hot seat.
Yeah, he wants people on the hot seat.
Jeez, okay. Matthew.
Okay, Clark Lee, is he on the hot seat? No, I don't think Clark Lee. You can probably better answer that than I can. Willie,
I'm not
but I don't
sensing
think
that.
He's, gonna, he's
I,
on the
I
hot seat.
I think the fans are getting antsy because they were just they took a big step back. He took the big step forward 2 years ago. Remember, they beat Florida.
Yes.
They famously beat Anthony Richardson and
Will Levis
in the same year. And Rivers like, ooh, okay. And then last year, not a competitive year at all in the league. And so they had to really go back to the drawing board. So after a year of going into the portal, going in with some money, we'll see what it looks like. I do think people are antsy, but I think from the top, because he's an alum, because he's a classy guy, I think he will get some slack in the rope to build, knowing it's a tough job and the construction is still
going on.
So I think he deserves on the other side through next year. I think at the end of not this coming year, but the following year when everything's done with the stadium will be an important evaluation point, I think.
Now, Napier.
But I think he's going to have some time. Napier.
That's a little bit different.
Because Florida, that's a different level of expectation.
Different level of expectation. And if you're not winning, eventually they will get you out. So, yes, if Napier is not winning this season, they are. Don't be surprised if they are looking for a new coach. And then who else did he say?
How quick do you think DeBoer at Bama replacing Nick Saban will be sort of under fire?
Okay, from
day one.
Okay, from a fan standpoint, if he loses two games in a row, they're going to be looking to change him. Not that they are going to change him, but the fans are going to be like they're going to be out for his head if he loses two games. Say if he loses two games in a row in a season, and then they're out of contention. As long as they're in contention for a playoff, Bama fans are going to stay with them. Now, you're talking about the AD and the president. They're going to give him a little time to figure this thing out. Alabama's still going to have a good team, people. They're still going to have a good team. Now, are they going to be as good without Saban as they have been? I don't know. Yet to be seen. But I'm sure AD and the president, they're going to give him an opportunity to figure his way of coaching out with this team that he has. But if you're talking about Bama fans, it's going to be, if it was up to them, it might be a quick hook if he ain't winning the games they think he needs to be winning.
Dad joke for D-Mace on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If athletes get athlete's foot, what do astronauts get?
Astro foot?
Mistletoe.
Mistletoe.
If you're an astronaut, are you really? You're not dealing with missiles, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's maybe.
It's a stretch. Yeah, a little bit of a stretch. Yeah. All right, let's try Eric. Eric's always got a good dad. We can rely on Eric. He's back. He heard the call to arms.
Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah,
Eric, welcome in.
What happened was I thought you all would take a text only. That's why I hung up so bad.
No. You can always grab the vine.
As far as music, I love the original NFL Today music on CBS, Brent Musburger, Phyllis George, Irv Cross, and Jimmy the Greek. I like that.
We might need to hear that, Eric, just for old times.
It's a real NFL Today joke. It's an old one, and you probably guys will probably get the answer after I give the question. Did you have you heard about the jump rope joke?
I don't think so.
No, I haven't heard the jump rope joke.
Oh, well, skip it.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I thought you guys had heard the joke. That's why I wasn't sure. But
no, I haven't heard that one.
Joke. Yeah. That's good.
I'm going to put that one in my back pocket for my kids.
Yeah. One quick question, and I guess you probably saw, I guess it was on the golf course yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, and the report asked a question about Devontae Adams. It's just, why in the world did he just not say, you know, Devontae Adams with the Raiders, we've got our receivers here. I like working with him. He basically made the statement. He wanted to play with Devontae Adams to come to the Jets. It's like, why are you doing that? It's just, wanted to get your thoughts on that real quick. Guys, y'all take care and have a great weekend.
All right, thanks,
Eric.
Appreciate it. We're going to actually talk a little bit about the Jets in the next hour with our topic, which are who could win the Super Bowl out of the AFC. That's coming in the next hour. So Aaron Rodgers will come up.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers always seems to come up. Listen.
Was he at the pyramids?
Yeah, I think he was in. Yeah, he was out in Jerusalem or something. Egypt. I don't know. Yeah. Egypt. Yeah,
he's everywhere.
This is what I'm starting to realize, because I was thinking about this morning after listening to the podcast you sent over, Willie, and they were talking about the Jets, and I got to listen to the two guys, the co-hosts and hosts, and, you know, they were sort of making fun of Aaron, like going to the pyramids and all that stuff. And I started to think, like, man, we need to be very careful about how we sort of make fun or make light of people. Because we always talk about in this day and age, like the mental health. Oh, you need your mental health and you need to do this. And whether you like Aaron or not, he's doing the things that he needs to do from a mental standpoint to keep himself on even keel. You don't make light of that. If he wants to go do his, I don't even know how to pronounce
ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca. If he wants to go do his ayahuasca, and I've had people that I know that have done it, and it brings out something else in them, so it's beneficial. If he wants to do that, let him do that. He's not bothering nobody. He's not hurting nobody. He's not, no domestic violence, no drunk driving, none of this crazy stuff that is always in the news about some of these athletes and entertainers and even politicians. He's not doing this. He's doing his own thing. Does he have sort of alternative views of things? Absolutely he does. I'm a conspiracy theorist as well. I that's just who I am. I'm not going to sit here and believe what you tell me just because you told me that. No, I'm going to look a little bit deeper into it and find out, is that really true what you're saying? Or can it be an alternative to what you're doing? That's all Aaron does. It's not hurting anybody. It's him. So let's be careful when Aaron or any one of these other players choose to go do things that you may look at it as, oh, that's quirky. Why is he doing that? Oh, he's just a nut. No, he's not. He's taking care of his mental health. You should try the same thing. Don't make light of what he's doing. Now, Aaron may say some things that ruffle some feathers. He's not hurting anyone. He has his own views. Let him have his views. He's not hurting anyone. People get so up in the arms by what Aaron does. It's like, dude, let him do him. He's not hurting you. That's the part where, you know, I've gotten to a point with that. I'm like, man, let the man do him. He's 40 years, almost 40 years old, if not 40 years old.
Yeah,
he's a
40.
Man, like Mike Gundy said. Exactly. But what he's doing is benefiting him, and it's not hurting anyone else.
All right. We're going to talk more about the Jets in the next hour. Let's get a couple of quick hitters because we're low on time. We got to get to the break, but I just want to make sure we get these in. A couple of questions about your Europe, just quick hitters.
Okay.
Favorite country that you visited from Michael and Madison?
I enjoy Florence, but I really loved Amsterdam because that was my first time, everybody's first time in Amsterdam. My daughter and my ex-wife, they had already been to Paris.
Okay.
No one's been to Amsterdam. We had all been to Florence. So Amsterdam was cool. I love it. I'm going to go back. I just got to figure out when I'm going to go back. But I'm going back. Amsterdam.
The Netherlands.
Yes. I loved Amsterdam.
I have trouble saying that word. The Netherlands. It's hard to say. Okay. So that's D. Mace's answer. And then the last one is... Randy, he's never been to Europe, but he says it's a long question, so we don't have time for the whole thing. But he's basically asking, you know, what's it like compared to the U.S.? Do they have Walmarts?
You know what? No, funny to say that. We didn't see a Walmart. Now
strip malls.
We were sort of. It, depending on like Florence, we were not in like the.
It's an interesting question.
Cities, like Florence, we wasn't in. We were amongst the people, but if we wanted to really get amongst the people, we had to go a little bit further out, which we did to go to a vineyard. But you know, it still was just us and a few other people. Paris, I didn't see. I saw a lot of stores, but I didn't see a Walmart. Now, maybe they do have one. I don't know. But we didn't get outside of the area we were in.
Yeah, because all the pictures you see over in Europe is the old world, the old structures, the Eiffel Tower.
Absolutely. And then Amsterdam was the same way. We didn't really get out into, even though we were amongst people, we didn't go too far out, so we didn't see. But I'm sure there are some.
Good question. Yeah. All right. When we come back, we're going to hit the AFC teams that we think can win the Super Bowl. How long is our list? Obviously, I think we know one team in the AFC that we think could win the Super Bowl, the one that's won it the last couple years. Beyond that, how long is your list? We're going to talk about that next here on 102.5 The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.